Hello, and thank you for joining us now. We're going to be studying about God's Word today. Hello, my name is Richard Massey, and I'm glad to be with you today. Wherever you are and whatever you're doing, I hope you can get a Bible and open it up, because today we're going to be talking about the power of God's Word to change things. God's Word has power, and it has the power to change things and change them for the better. Not just change, but make things better. Now, there's spiritual power in God's Word to do that. In Romans 1 in verse 16, hopefully you know this verse, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Now, the gospel of Christ is the Word of God. It goes on to say, "For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now, the power in the gospel is a spiritual power, a power to save our souls in heaven. And so we want to say that God's Word has power, and it has spiritual power. It also has physical power, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. God's Word has both spiritual power and it has physical power. Right now we're looking at the spiritual power. In Hebrews 4 and verse 12 says, "For the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." And I suggest to you again that right here it's talking about the spiritual power of God over the spirit of man. It has power to save us. It has the power to change our lives. Now, Jesus said this in John 6. And I want to read verse 63. It says, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth." The Spirit makes you alive. "The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The gospel is a spiritual message. It has spiritual power. It can penetrate into the inner man, down to where his soul is, his thoughts and the intents of his heart. And so the Word of God is very powerful. Now, there are powerful machines. There is powerful war planes. They have power. Powerful weapons of war. There are powerful volcanoes and earthquakes. There are a lot of powerful things in this world. But God's Word has power that exceeds all of the powerful things of the world. And I'd like to study with you a little bit today concerning the power of the Word of God. Now, we've been talking about it having spiritual power, but I believe in Genesis 1, we see that it has physical power. God created things with His Word, and so it has power over the physical world, such as in Genesis 1 in verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." The power of the Word of God to create light when there was no light. "And He created the heavens and the earth with His Word," which is even more remarkable, because the word "create" there is the word bara, which means He created it from nothing. He created an entire universe, a physical universe, and He created it by speaking it into existence. It did not formerly exist. There were no dirt and water and elements that make up the whole world. There wasn't any, but God's Word caused them to come into existence. Genesis 1 and verse 6, and God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And guess what? There was a firmament, and he called that firmament heaven. Then in verse 9, God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the land appear, and it was so. And he called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. God's word did that. God's word has power over the physical elements, that he can even bring physical elements into existence that did not exist before. How amazing is that? Verse 14 of Genesis 1. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament. And there became lights in the firmament. And the brighter light ruled the day, and the lesser lights ruled the night. Then in verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, the fowl that may fly above the earth and open in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. God has power. He has physical power to create things that did not exist before. Now, we are to be amazed at the wonderful and mighty power, the physical power of the Word of God. His Word certainly has physical power. But then, in this week of creation, God also makes man and woman. First of all, he makes the man. In Genesis 2 and verse 7, he makes him from the dust of the earth. He makes him out of clay. Made a man, human being with a heart and lungs and intestines and bone structure and a brain and nervous system and respiratory system. He made that all out of clay. His word is powerful. Not only powerful, but amazingly powerful. He created an operating tree, a tree that grows leaves every year, and leaves fall off, and then they come back on again the next year. They bring forth fruit. God did that with his power. God made great elephants when there were no elephants. He made whales and eagles and sparrows and hummingbirds. All of their feathers, all of their eggs, their reproduction system. God made everything from nothing. Incredible and amazing. The power of the Word of God. That's what we're discussing. The power of the Word of God. It has power over the physical elements. It's very powerful and very amazing. But in the days of Noah, God brought a flood upon the earth. That came because of the power of his Word. God has power. Verse 11 of Genesis 7 says, in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. They and every beast after their kind, all the cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into Noah into the ark, into two and three of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life. They went in male and female of all the flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in. Then God brought that great flood upon the earth. God's words have power. And when sufficient destruction of all the living things, verse 22, all in whose nostrils was the breath of life, all that was in the dry land died. When all of that was completed, God destroyed an evil world. Then God made the waters recede. We're talking about the power of the Word of God. His Word has physical power. And there are many, many things that we could talk about to further underscore the power of the Word of God. But here's another thing that God's Word has power over, and that is God has the power to bring about leprosy on a person that he's displeased with. He's got the power of bringing leprosy upon a person. He's got the power of removing it. His Word has great physical power. In Numbers chapter 12, Moses has a brother and he has a sister. His sister's name is Miriam and his brother's name is Aaron. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, "Hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us?" You know, Miriam was a prophetess. And the Lord heard it. Beloved, God hears everything. You need to remember that. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and said unto Aaron and unto Miriam, "Come out, you three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation." And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, "Hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses?" The anger of the Lord kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "Alas, my Lord, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of whom the flesh is half consumed when he cometh out of his mother's womb." And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "Heal her now, O God, I beseech thee." And the Lord said unto Moses, "If her father had but spit in her face, should she not be ashamed 7 days? Let her be shut out from the camp 7 days, and after that let her be received in again." And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not until Miriam was brought in again. And afterward the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. God's word had the power to punish Miriam for speaking against Moses. God's word has great power. We need to appreciate this power. Furthermore, God has power to still the storms. In Matthew chapter 8, there was a great storm on the sea. And the Lord Jesus Christ calmed that storm down. Matthew 8, beginning in verse 23, the Bible says this, "And when he was entered into the ship, his disciples followed him, and behold, there arose a great tempest in the seas, insomuch that the ship was covered with waves. But he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?" We sing a song in our songbook called "Master, the Tempest is Raging." And in the chorus of that song, he says, "Peace be still, peace be still. And even the winds and the sea, they obey his voice." The storm was changed. When God created the world with his words, there was no world, but then he spoke it into existence. God's word has power, and it has power to change. In the days of Noah, God wanted to destroy the world with a flood, and so he brought the flood into the world, destroyed every living being, and then he caused the flood to recede. God's powerful word made a difference in the world. Then Miriam, she sinned with her tongue, and God struck her with leprosy. There was a change in her life. There was some punishment for her. We need to understand, respect God's punishment. God can punish us. The Bible speaks of the chastening of the Lord. God's word has great power, the power to change. In Mark 1, 16 through 20, Jesus walked along the side of the Sea of Galilee, and he called fishermen to come and follow him. And he says, follow me and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Now we want to talk about the spiritual power of the word of God. God's word has physical power. He can create a world. He can bring a flood. He can cause leprosy to come upon a person. But he also has spiritual power to change lives. And so he took some fishermen and tax collector and some other common ordinary people, and he changed their life. He changed their focus. And they began to be preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They weren't preachers before, but God's word made a change in their life. I wasn't always a preacher, but God's word made a change in my life. That's the way it is with every preacher. They weren't born into the world preaching the gospel, but they began at some point in time, just like Peter, James, and John did. And they were ignorant and unlearned men, Acts 4 and verse 13. But Jesus changed their focus. In Acts 6 and verse 7, now we're talking about the spiritual power of the Word of God to change the heart, to change the mind. In Acts 6 and verse 7, it says, the word of God increased in Jerusalem, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly, and even a number of the priests obeyed the faith. And so priests, religious people, were changed. They had for a long time been priests, but God changed them into being Christians. The gospel is about change. We cannot stay the same. We have to allow the word of God to change our lives and to keep on changing it. The Bible says in 2 Peter verse 1 and chapter 1, 5 of 2 Peter, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. Well, I already have faith. Well, add to it. Add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge. Keep on adding these things. And to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, the patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, not just a little, you got to keep adding those things to your life. There's power in the Word of God, and that power is about changing us and causing us to continue to improve our lives, to continue to grow. Yes, the truth will make you free. And that's what we need to appreciate about God's word. It will make you free. In Acts chapter 8, there was a man who was a sorcerer. He worked in the black magic and deceiving people and making people think he had power when he really didn't. But he heard the gospel. And he was convicted of the gospel, and he changed. He gave up his sorcery. Verse 13 of Acts 8, then Simon himself believed also, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip, wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. He changed his life. Yes, the gospel will make a change in your life. It's a spiritual power that it has. I want us to also notice in Acts 19 that when these people became Christians, the Bible says they brought books and they burned them. It says in verse 18, "And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also which used curious arts brought their books together and burned them before all men. They counted the price of them around and found it 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed." People were changing their lives. That's the power of the gospel. People who were involved in sorcery, they changed. People who were formerly priests under the old covenant, they changed. And so people need to change and must change. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we read about the people in Corinth, that they at one time were sinners. It says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." They were sinners, but they changed. They stopped the sinning business. And so instead of being a thief, they went and got a job. Instead of being an alcoholic and drunk, they sobered up. Instead of being sexual perverts, they got into a normal lifestyle. It was the greatest thing that ever happened to the city of Corinth. Corinth became a better city. It became a better, had better conditions. People were more loving. People were more kind. People were better off. Corinth became a better city because people in that city changed. The whole world needs the gospel. I hope you know that. Life becomes valuable and useful. There's more love in the world. There's more peace. There's more kindness. People stop walking in darkness and they start living in the light. It changes the world. It's a better change. Paul at one time was a blasphemer. 1 Timothy 1 in verse 13, but he changed. He wasn't a blasphemer after he heard the word of God. He changed his life. He began to encourage people instead of blaspheme people. Instead of being a persecutor, he became a preacher. Instead of being injurious, he became a helpful person. He helped other people. God's word has power. It has physical power. It can change things in our physical world, but it also has spiritual power. And at one time, every Christian was living in sin. But he changed his life. And he changed from going to hell to going to heaven. Now he's going to heaven where before he was going to hell. We are to love the word of God. It changes our lives that way. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 in verse 97, "I love thy word. By thy word I love, O Lord. It is my meditation all the day." So it has the power. It's the only power that can do that. It can change our lives. God is very involved with our change. God wants us to change, and that change is positive. He wants us to have an improved life, a positive change, from a sinner to a saint, from people who have no hope to people who have all hope, people who are lost to people who are being saved. And people who are sad, people who are happy. And so we are changing for the better, and we're thankful for that. God has changed you. I hope he has changed you. I hope you are studying his word and seeking for a change in your life. Thank you for tuning in today and listening to this message about the power of the word of God. What we've studied about today is God's word has power to change things physically. But God's word also has a spiritual power to it, that it works on us on the inside and causes us to change our lives. Thank you for tuning in today, and we pray that you'll continue to listen to the Gospel Radio Network. It has great programs for you to hear. We hope you'll continue to listen to the great messages of God's word. And thank you for tuning in today, and we hope and pray that you'll continue to study your Bible and live a prayerful life, and live in a way that will be pleasing unto the Heavenly Father. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.